You're listening to Building Bridges. I'm Amy Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
Greg Pallett is a veteran election investigator who has continued to uncover the sickening truth of widespread systematic election rigging, robbing African American, Hispanic, and Asian American voters of their right to vote in crucial states. Pallett is known for complex undercover investigations spanning five continents, from the Arctic to the Amazon, from Caracas to California, using the skills he learned over two decades as a top investigative corporate fraud reporter. Pallett is the author of several New York Times bestsellers, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, Vultures, Picnic and Armed Madhouse, and we are joined by Greg Pallett, but we want to begin first by going straight to Georgia, and we begin with Martin Luther King's cousin, 92 years old, who claims she was blocked by Kemp from casting a vote.
Has this ever happened to you before?
Never.
How long have you been voting?
Oh, my life, ever since I wrote, man. But I've been voting right here, ever since 1968.
Yeah. And it's just, it's horrible. And I say that because the West End, she's been in this community back when we could. When they were doing sit-ins, she held civil rights meetings in her home. And today to come out and not be able to vote and no one can give you an explanation, like, it's extremely emotional and it bothers me. It bothers me to my core. Like, there's actually no record of her whatsoever voting in any election whatsoever, and it's ridiculous.
And now we are joined by Greg Pallett, and we actually took that sound from Greg Pallett's website. Greg, so the question is, notwithstanding the rhetoric of the Republicans in Florida, who has been tampering with our elections? Is there voting fraud going on as you have investigated and seen it? And let's first start in Georgia.
Okay. You know, voters, dead voters, people voting double, all that stuff, they haven't shown one single case. But I can tell you this. Before the election, I sued Brian Kemp. That is my Pallett Investigative Fund, sued Brian Kemp, the Secretary of State, who's running the election and was also the guy running for governor. He had removed 500,000 voters from the voter rolls in 2017, the year before the election, without any notice. No one knows that they lost their vote, 500,000 voters. And then I took that list, and I got four top consulting firms to go through the list. They said about 400,000 people supposedly left Georgia or moved out of their congressional district. So I got the experts to look up everyone's true address, which they can do. They look at the Georgia power bills, the DMV records, the Georgia taxes, your phone bill, et cetera. All stuff actually that Brian Kemp should have done. But he threw these people off the voter rolls saying that they had moved, overwhelmingly voters of color. And here's what we found. 340,134 voters were wrongly purged, at least that much. There may be 100,000 more, but we know 340,000. So, one, they didn't get voter cards. They didn't know where to go to vote, so a lot of them probably didn't vote because of that. Second, we had tens of thousands show up at the voter stations and saying, here's why I always vote. I didn't get a card, but what happened? Oh, you've been purged. You can't vote. Then two things happened. In some cases, like I went with a Raheem Shabazz, who a lot of Georgians went to gregpallett.com, my website, because I put up the purge list. You could look up whether you were purged or not. So people found they were purged. I said, let me know. So I went with Raheem Shabazz, a great filmmaker out of Atlanta. So he demanded and got a provisional ballot. Whether it will be counted or not, we don't know. That's what Stacey Abrams' lawyers are fighting over, the counting of those ballots. By the way, it was then, when I was with Raheem at the polling station, that we found Christine Jordan, who is Martin Luther King's cousin. She is 92 years old. She was really dressed up for voting, as she does, because it's so important. She's been voting at the same station since her cousin was murdered in 1968. And they purged her. And you heard the distraught voice saying, this bothers me. That's her granddaughter. And if you go to gregpallett.com, I want you to see that 92-year-old woman lose her vote. This is what's happening. We are back to Jim Crow. This is their 50th year of voting. We thought it was all over after the Voting Rights Act, after King was killed. We thought that you still get the vote. Not in Georgia. It's going backwards. And then there are people who are given, refused provisional ballots. Now, this is a big thing. Under the federal law, if you've been purged wrongly, you can say, I'm supposed to be a voter. I'm supposed to be on those voter rolls. And you can fill out a provisional ballot, then they can make a determination later. Brian Kemp let out the word, and all these counties were accepting this ridiculous concept that if you're not on the voter rolls, you can't get a provisional ballot. So it's a catch-22. They throw you off the voter rolls illegally, and you can't cast a provisional ballot to protest it because they say, well, you're not on the voter rolls. Well, no kidding. That's why we're trying to fill out this ballot. So this is the games that they're playing in Georgia with literally 100,000 votes. Stacey Abrams not only should be getting a rerun, she really probably won it outright. If you count all the votes, they also disqualified 5,000 absentee ballots, mail-in ballots. Why? They said, oh, suspect signature. Well, a suspect signature means that someone else filled out that ballot and stole the ballot. Well, if that's true, go and arrest people. Go call the cops. They're not calling the cops. They're just throwing out ballots. Are there really 5,000 fraudulent voters? They haven't claimed one. They're just throwing out the ballot. Say, well, the signature doesn't match. We say so. No, the whole point of the signature match issue is that to prevent fraud. And there's no fraud going on here. They're not saying that any of these voters were not legal voters. They're just saying, and by the way, never, never, never mail in your ballot. Don't go postal. Never mail in a ballot, ever. Just don't do it. Because it's not just Georgia. It's also New York, just to let you know.
Hmm.
And California is one of the worst. So even if you fill out the ballot absentee, take it in to the to a county clerk or wherever. But this is the game that's being played in Georgia. It's the worst in Georgia. But what makes it so different, Mimi, so different, is that Stacey Abrams has done something no Democrat's ever done, saying, I'm not conceding. I'm going to make them count all the votes. You know, Gillum, the Democrat candidate in Florida, conceded before the votes were counted. He was ahead and he was conceding. Then he took back his concession, but that may finish him off because, remember, they're fighting over these ballots. They're fighting over the absentee ballots. They're fighting over the provisional ballots. And once he conceded, that his team start going home and the Republicans just start tossing out ballots. And, you know, you don't have to be a genius. You don't have to, like, be Carnac the Great and know what's inside a provisional ballot envelope or an absentee ballot envelope. I know that my daughter faced down a challenge in Savannah for her absentee ballot. They know that young students in Savannah, Georgia, a highly Democratic area, are all voting Stacey Abrams. They don't have to look inside the envelope. They know that if you're in Fulton County side of Atlanta, that's a Stacey Abrams vote. You know, Macon, Georgia, they're going to count that vote. Hmm. That's the game.
Greg, what was the process by which these votes were purged in Georgia?
The purge of voters happened. Okay, they pulled a trick. And by the way, this is in the town of the New York Times. The Times has asked me for my information, and they kind of disappeared. So, you know, don't count on the Times to cover this story. They're lazy. They wrote a story saying that back in June, the Supreme Court said that the Ohio Republican Secretary of State was allowed to remove voters because they didn't vote. In other words, if they made them inactive and then they canceled them. You miss two elections and you lose your right to vote. That's not true. That's not what the court said. That's a direct violation of federal law, which says in the National Voter Registration Act of 93, no voter can lose their vote, their registration without for not voting. You cannot lose your registration for not voting. That's the law. Okay. So how did people get removed because they skipped a couple elections, as a lot of people do? The answer is, they're saying, well, that's evidence you've moved. You've moved away. And they send you a postcard. Now, a postcard looks like junk mail. And it doesn't go to everyone. It's overwhelmingly going to students, identified people who move, like apartment dwellers who move usually within the town or whatever. And, by the way, you don't have to re-register if you move within your county. You should, because so you don't get your vote stolen. But you don't have to under federal law. So you cannot remove people from skipping an election. But they say that's evidence you've moved. They send you a postcard. Oh, well, that's proof you didn't move because you didn't return the postcard. And they remove people. Or you were on something called the Interstate Cross-Check list, created by the right-wing white supremacist Chris Kobach, who lost his election for governor of Kansas, but he's run this voter purging operations for Brian Kemp in Georgia and for 25 other states. 25 states, he sends them hit lists of hundreds of thousands of voters who he says moved because, and you'll dig this, they say, oh, well, they know someone's moved because, you know what, they found James Brown in Atlanta and a James Brown in Motown, Detroit, believe it or not. And they said, obviously, it's the same James Brown. I got to hold these lists, different middle names. James Brown Sr., James Brown Jr. put down as the same voter. But what they do is they say, oh, well, that person's moved because there's two James Browns in two towns. And then they begin the process of removing that voter from the voter rolls. This is how they are doing it. And I can tell you right now the Democratic Party has said nothing about it. I can tell you right now that that's why you can't count on the Democratic Party to save African-American voters. When I say Democratic Party, let me correct that. Stacey Abrams, as you heard, is really tough on this. She's in federal court. She's fighting this purge game. But it's not a coincidence that she's African-American, because the problem is not the Democratic Party per se. It's the Democratic White Congressional Caucus.
And there's another ingredient to this whole peculiarity of using what you've called, and some other people as well, the purge by postcard trick, and that is that built into that is a serious racial bias. And I wonder if you could ferret that out for us.
Yes. So what we did was, for example, you send a postcard to people to see if they've moved. Now dig this. The chance that a white, elderly, suburban homeowner will get a government postcard, because you don't always get them, get the card and return it, is 500% higher than if you're a young black urban renter. 500% difference. So in other words, they know that if they send out postcards and people return them and say, okay, you can vote, if you don't return them, you lose your vote, they know who it's going to hit. It's going to hit black people. It's going to hit students. Like my daughter, she's a Georgia voter. Now she's a student. So she doesn't necessarily even get these notices because she's moving from one dorm or apartment to the next. And, you know, she's 21, so she, you know, mail? What's mail? I mean, she checks her mailbox at her school once a year because they require it. That's it. Young people do not look at these things. It looks like junk mail anyway, but people in urban areas, especially African Americans and poor people and stuff, they don't return this mail unless it's pretty clear that it's something that they have to return. They don't just start giving away their names and addresses and signing things, you know. So you have this type of split. And, of course, you have cards going out to people who speak Spanish, hooray, in English, right? And there's no, you know, of course, and our experts that we hired said, this is insane. First of all, you're also sending them to voters just because they have a common name like James Brown. And the fact is, as the Brennan Center for Justice cited my work in their lawsuits in Georgia and Common Cause, saying 85 of the 100 most common names in the United States are minority names. Brown, Johnson, Kim, Hernandez, Garcia, Lee, etc. So if you're using a common name match system to so-called hunt for double voters or move voters or whatever, so the whole process starts with catching people who, voters of color, postcards capture young people, voters of color and students, and even using, you know, a trigger of like skipping an election. As you well know in New York, and I have this in Los Angeles, in my ballot, I mean, I voted, but it was kind of symbolic. I'm in an all-Democratic area in California. Most of the positions, there were no competitors. Basically, all the races in California are locked. I mean, there's actually literally no reason to vote. So if I skipped it, well, under the Brian Kemp, Chris Kobach GOP system, I'd lose my next vote. But I wouldn't know it until I tried to vote. That's what they're doing. Nice if the New York Times had reported, hello.
Gregor, any of these practices themselves illegal? Are they being challenged in court to overturn the election?
Those are two different questions. Are they illegal and are they being challenged?
Right.
Yes, they are illegal. I mean, I just got off the phone with my attorney, Jeannie Meyer, in New York. Hello, Jeannie.
And she's fantastic. And one of the really great New York City Lawyers Guild lawyers who's been working
absolutely.
On this issue.
Well, I'm glad you – thank you. She deserves all that.
She certainly does.
And she is my national lawyer on all 26 cases. We have great lawyers in each of the states. But it's pretty clear. It says that you can only purge voter rolls to make them more accurate. Well, when you're purging the names of voters for moving and they haven't moved, that doesn't make them more accurate. That just makes them whiter. That is illegal on two grounds. One, it violates the National Voter Registration Act on its face. And two, it violates the Voting Rights Act and the 14th Amendment by making it racial. By having whether it's a racial intent, they can claim it's not racial. But believe me, they know what they're doing. If they were removing people from white country clubs, believe me, it would stop in a second. So is it illegal? Yes. Who's doing something about it? Well, number one, don't expect the federal government to act because, I mean, you just got this guy Whitaker. I mean, it was bad enough to have Jeff Beauregard Sessions. Now we've fallen over the right cliff. So and he's running this civil rights, voting rights division. These are the voting cops. They're not going to, and so you have to call the voting cops, and they don't respond. They lock you up. And so the government doesn't do it, so we have to do it by lawsuits. And my team, Jeannie Myers, already sued Brian Kemp. Yes,
and, of course, we should say also that Jeannie Myers also insists, and I agree with her completely, that the National Voting Registration Act explicitly prohibits state voting officials from purging voters simply for not voting in any event.
That is correct. You cannot do it. So this is a case that we are making to get the information, which we now have a lot of. We know of the wrongful votes there, and we're going across the country to Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, and other states. But to expose this game, in terms of the substantive, what we call those are informational, because I'm a journalist, so I mainly try to get the information. But now that I've got the information, the NAACP, Common Cause, the Abrams Campaign, and several others are gearing up to sue the state of Georgia. And I'm hoping this will be the first cases that will go around the country, because Kemp's not alone, is in the state of Georgia. You're having a lot of groups saying, this stops now. Put these people back on the rolls. That's where we're heading in litigation. It's going to be tough because, you know, in case you're unaware, it's now the Kavanaugh Court. No smart lawyer wants to be caught either in a bedroom or a courtroom with Brett Kavanaugh. And so we're working on ways to try to be able to make these points without ending up in the Supreme Court.
You know, one of the other things that, of course, is just appalling and problematic, the issue that you have of President Donald Trump, for example, who you've pointed out in your writings, warns a rally in Macon, Georgia, in the Deep South, that Stacey Abrams is running to become the first black female governor in the U.S. history, quote, and is one of the most extreme far-left politicians in the entire country, adding that, you know that, Stacey, if she's in there, you're going to have Georgia run into Venezuela. Now, this is just extraordinary. And you also point out that, of course, there were rallies by various white supremacist, neo-Nazi organizations.
Well, they were one rally. Let me make a correction.
Oh, that's
there.
Nice. They all were harmonizing.
It's the same. See, when I went, I kind of snuck into the Trump rally. We had some press pool passes, but
with your hat and your look, you managed to sneak in?
No. Are you kidding?
Oh,
I'm a coward. I'm not going to start running into a bunch of white supremacists.
Okay, so you're not going to play a Michael Moore. Okay.
Well, I mean, yeah, because if you've got a lot of guards with you, yeah. I mean, this is no joke. This isn't going up against some guy in a tie in a corporate office. You have to understand, when I was at the Trump rally and I was not dressed as I usually am, in fact, if you go to gregpalace.com, you can see my story where I'm at the Trump rally in Macon, Georgia. So behind me is Air Force One, and I'm taking a selfie with a Proud Boy. I mean, these are the violent white supremacists. They are proud of their violence. And so they are scary dudes. You had QAnon, 3%ers, you know, the InfoWars guys, and QAnon. You have to understand, these are like really scary. And it wasn't. They weren't in the crowd. They were the crowd. I want to repeat that. That's important. Most of the people, 4,000 people show up to see Donald Trump, and the majority were in the ultra-right and white suprematist connected organizations. That's the majority of the people that were there. I kid you not. It was nasty. It was frightening. You know, they're having a good time, but and then it was only at the end. Thank God I was outside the rally, you know, like kind of far away, and so there's just a scattering of their people. And one woman pointed to me, even my pseudo-disguise, saying, there is that terrible man from Noonan. Just so you know, at Noonan, Georgia, I confronted Brian Kemp, the Secretary of State slash candidate, when he got off his campaign bus. I followed his campaign bus, and when I got to him, you know, as a reporter, now I am a recognizable reporter, and I have a microphone in his face saying, Mr. Kemp, why are you purging black voters? Is this to win the gubernatorial election? And why do I have to sue you in federal court to get to the list of the purge people? And I start getting grabbed by people. Then before I know it, I'm grabbed by two guys in Smokey the Bear hats who throw me off the property. And I do say, wait, am I the only reporter being removed? And they say, they said just you. So that was, while the Atlanta Journal-Constitution did not cover any of the substance of my investigation of purge of voters in Georgia, they covered none of it. They did cover it a little bit where I'm being thrown out by Brian Kemp's goons.
Well, let's move while we have the time from Martin Luther King's 92-year-old cousin and her granddaughter, Jessica Lawrence, we heard a brief clip from, to Florida, where now the great irony is that, of course, the rhetoric of the Trumpites is that there is indeed voter fraud, and that is coming from the Democrats. What's your observation about what actually has been happening now in Florida?
Well, I was exhausted, but I sent my team has to take my orders even if they haven't slept. So they went down the great
You're
Zach
becoming
Roberts.
Very hierarchical and very authoritarian.
Well, no, they're very kind. They're all enthusiastic. They're younger. You know, like Zach D. Roberts is a famous investigative photojournalist. He took those pictures of that you saw in Democracy Now! in Charlottesville, that teacher DeAndre Harris being beaten nearly to death. That was Zach, who had a gun in his face. So he's used to dealing with these guys. So he went down to Florida, and what they were sending back to me, the film we're looking at, is of white supremacists trying to shut down the vote. And there were some Democrats, mostly African Americans, who were demonstrating count the vote. They were chanting, count the votes, count all the votes. And the white supremacists started chanting, not all votes count, not all votes count. And they're right, in Florida, not all votes count. And we're seeing new games. For example, Rick Scott tags people as illegal aliens. In order for you to vote, you as an American citizen whose only crime is having the last name Rodriguez have to go into a federal court and prove you're a citizen. And by the way, that's not so easy. Your Social Security card, your driver's license, that's not citizenship proof. You have to like have an original birth certificate or a passport. Military service, forget it. If you have your military record, we have non-citizens who serve in the U.S. military hoping that one day they'll become citizens. You can't use your military records or IDs. This is the game that Rick Scott is playing there. They are trying to stop the count of the provisional ballots. We talked about these kind of placebo ballots that were given out where if your name is missing from the voter rolls, you get to at least fill out a piece of paper, but then they throw it away. So I call it a placebo ballot because you think you voted, and there's a good chance you haven't. This is a second-class ballot. They're using that in Florida. They're discounting again absentee ballots, that is mail-in ballots that they're challenging the signatures on, which is ridiculous. And then I even found I'm getting messages from people that they're being thrown off the voter rolls because supposedly they are ex-cons, and it's not true. And they're removing people so with common minority names.
And one of the things that also I thought was extraordinary, which going back to Georgia, was that you found that Kemp was actually working in secret coordination with Chris Kobach Kansas. And this was of great concern to Stacey Abrams when you revealed that to her.
Yes.
And these new legal actions reveal that Kobach supplied 108,000 of the names that Kemp purged, and
that's right,
purged in secret.
In secret, he purged 108,000 people that were on the list that Chris Kobach of Kansas gave him. and supposedly on the grounds that they left the state of Georgia. My experts went through name by name, and they've got special agreements, by the way. We have a special firms of special agreements with the post office, as well as other 200 database providers. And they said 106,000 of the 108,000 never moved. But he still used this racist list from Chris Kobach. And I have to say, when I say racist, I'm not guessing. I work with a Rolling Stone magazine. We hired a bunch of experts who went through the list. And it's just a Jim Crow list. It's all these common names. It's just James Brown and Maria Hernandez.
Greg, I really thank you for your salient, comprehensive, and dangerous work in uncovering the voting fraud that has been stealing the votes. We want to thank you so much for the work you do.
You know, if people want to continue to follow, go to gregpalace.com. We're going to have more film from Florida and from Georgia starting tonight.
And I insist that you do. It's really important.
Thanks.
We've been speaking to crack investigative sleuth on voting-based issues and corporate fraud, Greg Palast.
And now let's hear from Stacey Abrams.
Democratic candidate for governor in Georgia.
When you chose me as your Democratic nominee, I made you a vow. In our Georgia, no one would be unseen, no one is unheard, and no one is uninspired. Because in Georgia, civil rights has always been an act of will and a battle for our souls. And because we have been fighting this fight since our beginnings, we have learned a fundamental truth. Democracy only works when we work for it. When we fight for it, when we demand it. And apparently today, when we stand in lines for hours to meet it at the ballot box, that's when democracy works. But I'm here tonight to tell you, votes remain to be counted. There are voices that are waiting to be heard. Across our state, folks are opening up the dreams of voters in absentee ballots, and we believe our chance for a stronger Georgia is just within reach. Because I'll tell you this, in a civilized nation, the machinery of democracy should work for everyone everywhere, not just in certain places and not just on a certain day. This election has tested our faith. I'm not going to name names, but some have worked hard to take our voices away, to scare us away, to distract us. But if our vision is clear and we see the finish line, but I want to say this, if I wasn't your first choice, or if you made no choice at all, you're going to have a chance to do a do-over. So let's get it done. Thank you so much.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.